director at Profitable Ideas Exchange and part of the business development team. In particular, she's got a real expertise around creating decks that we send by way of follow-up to potential clients.
You know, a lot of times when you speak with someone on a phone call and you're beginning to explain the kind of expertise that you could add to their business that would be helpful to them, they'll end by asking for further materials. Why do people ask for more materials?
I'd say it's to create space. Asking for more materials is a kind of a push off that allows time for them to consider what you just spoken about, what you're offering. Gives them a chance to review the details a bit more closely and in a way test you out. I'd say it also allows them to get a feel for a turnaround time for your performance, for the quality of your deliverables, for what your follow-up approach will be like after you send over a sales deck. And it also allows them to test out your credibility, whether you're a credible partner or not.
Interesting. How fast do you try and turn it around?
So we usually get a sales deck out to someone we've spoken with by the end of the day.
Interesting. And so what should be in those materials? Like, what's the best practice about what should be in a sales deck?
I would say in the sales deck, you want to include a clear yet brief demonstration of who you are, what you do, what you've done for others, and what you can do for the prospective target you've spoken with. And in doing so, the sales deck should include should show your strong brand image. Your deck should include graphics that aligns with and helps communicate who you are as a company. And most importantly, I think the case studies are necessary to include in a sales deck. We have a library of case studies that we select from based on the size and the type of organization we're going after. So that they can put themselves in the shoes of someone we've successfully partnered with in the past to see how it could work for them.
Tell me more about a case study. Like, what makes for a good, I assume that's like a single slide, if you will, in a deck. Like, what are you trying to communicate in a case study?
Yep. So you're communicating kind of, I think the most important note there is ROI. So what you were tasked to do for that client, what your success rate was in pulling that project together, and then how they, you know, made a return on their investment with you that benefited their organization.
So you said it's important to sort of establish credibility. How do you do that in a deck?
I think the easiest way is creating a logo page. So we have a page with all the logos of clients we've worked for and that we are working with currently. It's adds credibility and a brief snapshot, because people recognize and know the companies that they see in those logos and understand that we've worked with them. And I think that helps build trust.
Interesting. I imagine that sometimes decks like this get passed on inside the organization. How does that affect how you kind of put a deck together?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important to include is your contact information. So if the deck is passed on, which is part of the reason I think two people do ask for a deck, so that they can share it with their leadership team, they could share it with their boss to find out if there'd be interest in exploring our offer further. When the deck ends up in someone else's hand, other than the person that you spoke with, you want them to be able to find where the deck came from and to be able to get in touch with you.
You always put it in a PDF. Why do you put it in a PDF?
You don't want them to change what you've included in there, especially when you're including case studies on work you've done for others.
Well, thank you, Carly. That's perfect.